Hello all, this is Maura Hale. Short little announcement for you before you go any further. The podcast you've turned into is a wee bit NSFW, which I'm told means not safe for work. Basically, I can't hold me tongue while we're having a good crack. So for everything to be sound as a pound, I'd suggest listening at your own discretion.
Looks like they're back to the regular old shenanigans. The old SSS Destiny's crew. Let's see what happened this week on We Suck at D&D. Well, looks like the team got to go check out some old bedrooms. I think they got to see some cool stuff. I remember there being a velociraptor, Del told me, and there was a cool pond and some spooky macrame or something. Maura wasn't quite clear. Oh, and some secret notes on a wall. Then they hopped back inside of me, which is a little odd. And took back off into the old rabbit hole.
Alright, the last place we left you guys was on the planet Atera and a sinking SSS Destiny's Child. Zero chimes in over the loudspeaker and says, any solutions to this, the sinking problem?
Well, crew? Can I get out of this fucking booster seat first, please?
Of course. And then the seatbelt unbuckles, and Maura, you are unbuckled from your booster seat.
Thank God.
We got any life rafts and anything like that?
Yes, if you remembered when you first aborted this ship, we do have 3 emergency escape pods at the rear of the ship.
Well, we can't leave you, though.
If we jump in them escape pods, then maybe we'll make it, but you're going to sink to the bottom of the ocean. We can't have that either. Why can't you just thrust us out of here?
That is something I could try, but these are ion boosters, mostly just for air travel. They're not exactly effective in water. It might get us moving. I don't think it would get us surfaced.
Well, what's another option, Zero? Escape pods, that's got to be the last resort.
Cal, do you remember your training back on Enola?
I'm trying to remember, mate. I'm trying to remember. I'm just okay. A little bit scared of water, so just help me out a bit, yeah?
Make an intelligence roll and add whatever modifier is attached to it, and we'll see.
All right.
And don't forget, when our fucking sinking ship here.
11.
Time is of the essence.
11. 11 is so close, but doesn't quite get there. Anyone want to assist them? Maybe they remember something from their auxiliary classes.
I'll do it.
Okay, so Cal, roll again. So now you have, this is like your advantage. You just get one more roll.
You better remember something.
That was a nat 20, so I got 22.
Woo! Okay. For some reason, you couldn't remember, but then Sandra comes over and knocks you on the head, and all of a sudden, everything is perfectly clear. You remember back at your training on Enola that there was a way to rewire the ship to engage internal pressurization of the vessel, and then you can actually use it to refloat the ship to the surface.
All right.
So
Cal just explains all of that to everyone. I'm just kidding. I'll let me go into it. All right, guys. Here's the deal. We have one chance to make Zero in this ship like a submarine. Yeah, but we got to rewire everything. Yeah, you got it.
We got to work together. Let's do it now. What do you need from us?
I got it.
So I say, everyone, yeah.
Cal,
everyone, roll. Yeah. Everyone roll a sleight of hand.
I mean, you know what? Actually, everyone roll. That's fun. Everyone roll. Sleight of hand to see how like dexterous you are with like rewiring the ship.
Sleight of hand.
And depending on how many successes we have here, it'll depend on how well this goes.
Well, Maura goes ahead and gets a 1.
Oh God!
Plus nothing.
One plus nothing.
I rolled 11.
Fucking
11, 1.
I have a 13.
And a 13.
I'm little and dense. I'm just going to sink.
Okay, well, so Cal, you run to each spot on the ship where everyone's kind of trying to rewire, and you're like hectically trying to like yell commands at them. And what happens here is the ship pressurizes enough to be buoyant, but not quite enough to float. That makes sense. So there's still going to be some pressure to the ship, and you can like hear it kind of like it's like crunching a little bit. You hear the metal kind of, there's that pressure as you're sinking, but it stops. Zero says to the crew, he says,
well, the ion boosters aren't exactly effective in water, but I think at this point this is enough to get us towards the shore.
So he engages those ion boosters, and you guys kind of make your way back up to the front of the ship and sit, and you're slowly, slowly making your way, and like there's parts where you can see a little bit of water just kind of creeping through and leaking into the ship.
Hey, Zero, if we ever make it back to the Academy, remind me to yell at the dumbass engineers who can keep space out of, who keep oxygen in here when we're in space, but can't keep goddamn water out of here.
I think it's a pressure differential.
Zero chimes in.
We can fly through fucking atmospheres, but we can't.
Well, that's exactly what it was meant for, was flying through air and space. Not exactly diving through water.
I'm just a little bit on edge. I'm just a little bit on edge, all right? I've been through some shit recently.
Look at how cute it is, Del trying to be smart. Aww.
You can't even get your video up. Shut up, Santa.
Oh, not fair.
So
Naomi's coming for you. Naomi's coming for you, Chris. Yeah, just saying, it's coming.
All right.
Okay. So as the Destiny's Child starts making its way through the ocean, beneath all the waves and the storm above, you're greeted to like a the most beautiful like ocean spectacle I've ever seen. Coral reefs are awash in all these fluorescent colors, and there's fish, many that you've never seen before, maybe except for Sandra, who was born and raised here. The life is so abundant that you all kind of take a few minutes, despite all the stress that's going on right now, to kind of take in the serenity and the peace and the like the calmness of the ocean. The ship continues its underwater journey, and passing by more schools of fish and other aquatic creatures, you notice that if you looked through the front, I'll call it a windshield, the front glass of the viewing window of the ship, you can see that the ocean is starting to climb, like maybe you're making your way towards the shore. But Cal, you catch the faintest glimpse, maybe so fast that you're unsure if it was real or not, but you swear that you see an outline of an old wooden ship, ghostly green in color, floating by with a full crew. And this is happening underwater. The ship's sails look tattered and destroyed, the hull missing parts of what it once was. But atop the central mast, you can see a man with a spyglass. As he turns and faces you guys in the SSS Destiny's Child, you see him wave as the ship kind of fades as it reaches the surface of the water. And it disappears.
Okay, so his ship goes up to the surface of the water and then disappears.
Yeah, as it's like breaching the surface, it starts to like dissipate. And like this like green dust kind of floats back down through the ocean.
Are we also ascending at the same rate, or was he a little
faster? So you're coming like towards the shore, so you know how like the ocean bottom kind of comes up as you reach the shore, so you've noticed that, but it just came from below you guys and went past the ship and just kind of floated off and broke up into nothing.
We're just like neutral buoyant going straight
at
the shore. Okay.
Yeah, and he's coming up faster.
Did you go see that? It was like a ship, yeah. But it was I don't know. It went up and then it disappeared. I'm not really sure. You guys
saw
that, right?
Seems like you've been down here too long, Cal. Already, put your shit together.
Kind of. I didn't see nothing, partner. Are you sure about that?
We're in a ship and we're going up.
I saw something. I saw something. Yeah, we're in a ship, but it was another ship. It was like a big wooden ship. Yeah,
Zero. A wooden ship.
Yes. Zero, did anything come up on radar?
Nothing at all, except for the coastline, which is approaching swiftly.
Sandra, scoffs.
Is that a problem?
Should we brace for impact or something?
Potentially. I've already slowed down the drives, but we do have forward momentum. So
can I go back in my booster seat now?
Yes. Yes.
You hop back in your booster seat, and the seatbelt kind of... goes right around you and buckles you back in.
All right. Zero, do you have landing gear? Like, for when we fly in and land somewhere?
I do.
Do you think that, if you pop that down, do you think that maybe will keep the hull of the ship from hitting the ground?
We can certainly see. It's your call.
Well, let's talk to the captain over here. Cal?
Sorry, yeah, lots of stuff. Yes, Zero, try whatever you can to make it, to ease us up. And let's see, is there any way, can how,
I want, yeah, so I want to know, the...
go ahead. I was going to ask if Cal could, like, roll, like, a history check to see, like, if he can remember anything about slowing the ship down or, like,
yeah, so
maybe...
let's do a history check to see how well you remember, like, the controls, and then we'll make a dexterity check to see how well you maneuver this ship, to the shore.
Okay. Okay. My history was 20. 20 total.
Okay, you remember exactly how to pilot the ship.
And now you said
now
dexterity.
It's just a matter of how well you can actually do it.
Okay. Dexterity was 10.
That's perfect. You already know well. You've been trained how to do it, so the DC is not going to be set super high. So, actually, I want you to explain how you bring the ship up to landing to the shore.
Okay, so Cal gets in his seat. He buckles up. And he's going to tell everybody else to buckle up, too. So everyone else should be sitting down, buckled up.
After buckling in, Mora, I buckle myself.
Yep.
Safety first, folks. Safety first.
Click or take OSHA.
Yeah, POSHA. So he tells everybody to take a seat. And on his little control deck, he maybe, like, takes it apart a little bit, does some rewiring so he can actually take manual control of the ship. Zero, I think before he had said that he was really the only one that could.
Primarily, yep. Yeah. He basically gave you guys a start and a stop button. That was it.
Yeah, basically. So he's going to take it out and he's rewiring it. So he has like a controller to do it. And he's just going to basically take the thrusters and ease them up. And that way the hull is actually kind of coming up on the land. And just very softly, we arrive to shore.
Perfect. Yeah, you guys glide right on over the sand and you're up on shore far enough to where the hatch to exit is out of the water.
Oh, Cal, you may be seeing stuff, but you really did make that landing work.
Oh, I think it was just adrenaline. Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Couldn't remember shit, really.
Maybe, also, maybe an after effect from, the void, because as far as I can tell, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, the void was some pretty crazy shit. I mean, maybe we can talk about that later. Zero, do you know, can you do like a scan to see if there's any life forms around us? Are we in danger of any kind?
I do pick up a few life forms about 120 yards ahead of the ship, and it looks like we arrived in a place called Moonbright Cove.
All right.
All right.
It's a nice name.
Before I get out, can you scan to see if like the oxygen's fine? Like, can I breathe without?
I think Sandra would know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's right. We're on her home planet, huh?
Yeah, we're home. I'm just waiting for you guys to get your heads out of your asses so we can go on to shore.
Well, I'm ready.
All right, who's exiting the ship?
Me.
Sandra for show.
Del is getting up.
Okay.
And unbuckling Mara.
Thank you.
Cal's going to be the last one to walk out. And as he does, he just has that eerie feeling from the ship that he just saw. So he's just kind of like looking around the ship. And just he just feels eerie. So he's kind of just slinking out just little by little.
Okay.
Slinking out.
The hatch to the ship lowers toward the beach. And immediately you can tell that it's pitch black and completely dark. It's nighttime. Some stars in the sky and a distant planet kind of illuminate slightly the sandy beaches. As soon as you step off the ship, immediately to your right, about a mile down the shore, is a lighthouse. It's currently inactive. There's no light going around it. To the left of you, an inland... you see a gigantic wall that towers above even the trees in the distance. But directly in front of you, you see a group of people on the shore kind of waving to you and walking towards you all.
Okay. That's not weird.
Hey, Sandra, any like customs that we should know about this place, about the people walking towards us, maybe?
Let me get a better look at them. And as Sanja's looking, I'm going to ask Kirk if I can roll an intelligent roll to see if I recognize at least the type of people.
Do a perception roll for me.
Okay. Oh, God. Ain't nothing going to help me now. Hold on. it's two total.
So with the two, because it's nighttime and they're still a good distance away, you can tell that they're definitely humanoid. We'll say humanoid.
Okay.
And they're just making their way towards you. They're in a pretty tight group. A few of them have open arms, and that's about all you can gain from that.
Okay. I don't recognize them. I think we should be prepared in any case, but if we're truly back home, then we might be safe, but we should just be ready.
Did anyone even know we were coming?
I have no clue. How could they know?
Now this group of people, you can hear almost like, it might sound like an excited cheer. They're about 100 feet away now at this point. And from that distance, with all of your guys' passive perceptions, you can tell they kind of look well-dressed. And they've all got clothing on. They're making their way towards us still. Let's say we're at 75 feet now.
I'm really glad they're not naked.
Not naked.
So that's good. That's okay, good. Cool. I like that.
They could have been like a group of skinny dippers, you know, the people
that's
at night,
true.
You know?
That's
doing,
true.
Doing that polar bear
the
contest.
The polar bear
so.
Thing. Yeah, I just like that you added that detail. Uh-oh. That really eased my mind.
They are not
they
polar
had,
bear skinny dippers,
that they
so
had
you're
clothes
safe.
On. Thank you for that. I'm glad to
Okay, quick time out. I'm gonna do a Google check to see if there's like official handshake of Atera, because that would be pretty dope.
A Google check?
Yeah, I don't know. Like sometimes there's stuff about.
Oh.
Wait, Atera doesn't exist, right?
No, oh. This is my fictional world. It is not on Google.
That's why all of us went like this.
I wasn't even looking at you guys. Okay, so can't forget that happened. Let's just forget that my IQ dropped, like, 100 points.
You're from Atera, so if there is a handshake, you would know it.
Okay, so
I want to wave the same way they're waving.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's, like, a two-hand thing, if it's, like, high-five.
That's pretty clever. I think I'm going to do Sanja, then, because she doesn't know that who they are, she'll do a regular Atera custom where you put your hand on your heart, and then when your right hand on like the middle of your chest and your left hand out, and you kind of just bring your head down as a type of greeting and peaceful meaning gesture.
Okay. Does everyone else do that, or do you guys just let Sandra?
No, I'm standing.
I'm already waving the way they're waving.
Okay. Okay, well, whatever.
So
in the middle of, how are they waving, Kirk?
There's two of them that have their arms, like, outstretched, basically.
Like a hug.
Okay, so I'm doing this. I have my arms outstretched. I look at Sandra, and I kind of do, like hesitantly.
You kind of mimic that behavior.
Wait, yeah, and then I just put my hands down because I don't know what I'm doing.
So they're about 50 feet now, and at that distance, you swear it almost sounds like they're yelling at you guys.
Angrily?
Not angrily, but it's a very loud yell.
Can I do a perception check to see if I can understand what they're saying?
Sure.
While you're doing that, Mora's not going to take out her daggers, but she at least has her hands on her hips where they are located, because that's making her a little uneasy.
We should rename this podcast to We Suck at Rolling Dice, period. I got a one. I failed.
Oh my god, that's the second this episode.
A slight breeze drifts by. Chris, actually, no, we'll make this a little difficult, because I said this is going to be a harder arc. A breeze drifts by and dust gets in your eyes, and for the next 10 minutes, you're going to have disadvantage on all your attack rolls. Del, I think you're going to have disadvantage on your attack rolls for the next 10 minutes, and we'll say, yeah. They are now within 20 feet, and I need all of you to roll initiative. As you notice, you see five bodies. They all have growths covering their body.
Oh, God.
From that distance, it looks like fungal growths covering any exposed skin. That sound you heard is a faint, like, moaning roar coming from them, and it gets deeper as they get closer.
God, okay. Oh, God. Things
That's
escalated
scary.
Really quickly.
That's disgusting. But whatever they have, I'm not getting. Nat 20, bitches! That's my second one this game.
I rolled a 13.
Oh, wait. Did you roll a 20 for initiative?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's...
That just means you go first.
She goes first.
Yeah.
I got a 19.
Okay. So, you have five fungus-covered-looking beings in front of you, all humanoid, and they're all making this kind of guttural moan. Some of them are kind of yelling. It depends. But first in the order is Mora, so they're about 20 feet away.
So I want to go ahead and use one of my spells, Gust. So I want to seize the air around me and be able to, with a... just gust of wind, a small blast of air, get them away from me a little bit. Just push them back so they can kind of fall.
Okay, so and explain to me how that spell works.
Okay, so when I use gust, I seize the air around me and I can compel it to create a effect within range, which is 30 feet, so they are well within that. And then I go ahead and create this small blast of air. So I get my hands around, I start creating a small blast of air that moves these objects away from me. So they can be pushed up to 10 feet away from you. It isn't pushed enough to cause damage, but it is enough to push them backwards.
Okay, so it looks like it's going to be one object, one thing.
Aren't they a group?
It says one medium or smaller creature that you choose has to succeed on a saving throw. So do you want to pick one of them? The first bullet point on that spell.
Oh, yeah, I was reading the middle when I had to do it. Yeah, that's fine. Whoever's the one who's got his arms out and is trying to fucking hug me, I don't want him near me, so I'm going to push him backwards.
Okay, so there is one near you, and he's going to make a strength saving throw. What's the save on that? Should it have, like, a strength and then a number?
Mm-mm. Oh, strength 13.
13. Okay, here we go.
It doesn't.
It matched a 13. So I think Tygo's the runner, if I'm correct. So it stays in place, and you have five still coming towards you. Next in the order is Sandra.
Alright, with my passive perception, can I tell if they're undead or not?
They appear to be undead.
Okay, cool. So, when I'm going to use Divine Smite first, it says when you hit with a melee weapon attack, you can expend one spell slot to deal 2d8 extra radiant damage, to a target, plus 1d8 for each spell, level higher than the first. So I'm just going to keep it at first level, and I get an extra 1d8 against the undead. So I'm going to use Divine Smite, and then I'm going to go ahead and use my Sonic Maul, my new baby. And I am going to roll, give me a second. I should probably roll a 20 to see if I hit them first. Right?
Correct.
That would be so nice. I got a 4. Forget all that crap.
Yep, a 4 misses.
Yeah.
So let's say you make your way up to the one in front, right? Is that the one you're intending to hit?
Yep, whatever floats your boat.
So you make your way up to the one in front, and you pull up that Sonic Maul, and it charges up, and you swing. But just the last minute, maybe the zombie kind of falls in a hole and ducks underneath that swing.
That's some bullshit.
Next in the order are going to be two zombies in a row. So let me pull up this. Sandra, you're first. So the zombie that you just swung at is going to come up, and the attack is called Slam, but it's going to swipe at you.
Okay.
Let's see if it hits. 9 plus 3 does not do it. 12?
Nope.
Okay, so then the second one is going to make its way past you towards the group. And it's going to expend its movement because its speed is 20 feet, so it is basically right in front of the four of you, or the three of you, Cal, Mora, and Del. Next in the order is Del.
Okay. Del pulls out his... So once noticing what this was, Del became pretty afraid. And he pulled out his revolvers, and he went to point the one at... whatever zombie is right in front of his line of sight.
Okay.
And as he was about to pull back the hammer and fire, his hand started glowing that red. And he remembered, he had this like just internal memory pop up that he doesn't know where it came from. And he wants to cast Ray of Frost.
Oh, okay.
Through that gun. Works. Well, he's using it kind of like a focal point for now, his pistol. Okay.
So that's like his wand, basically, is like his pistol. Okay, I love it.
And it's just a cantrip, so I'm just going to roll the hit.
Okay.
So the first one's a 19, but I have disadvantage, so let me roll again. Second one's a 12.
12 hits.
Okay. So damage, 8.
8. Okie dokie.
So what happened? You said it hit?
Yes.
Okay, so he's going to shoot. He focuses, and his hand starts to glow, and he shoots that ray of frost at the zombie, and what happens to him?
So that bolt of freezing energy strikes the zombie, and it kind of hits him in his lower half near the hip, and that frost works its way down the leg of the zombie, and it's going to slow his speed down.
It says reduced by 10 feet.
Yep. So it'll take it down to 10 feet is his distance now.
Okay.
Yeah, if there's any effects in your spells, make sure you guys tell me, because I don't always have them pulled up.
Yeah, I forgot, and I just looked at it right now.
Okay.
And then he uses his bonus action, points his other revolver, and that one he just shoots. I'm going to roll to attack. Oh, crap, I forgot that's a custom one, so I'm going to have to actually just roll a dice. D20. It doesn't hit. It's a 4.
4? Yeah, 4 does not hit. So maybe like you're thrown off balance from casting a spell for the first time, and your aim wasn't quite true with the second one, and that second bullet goes right past the zombie.
Okay.
Next in the order are another two zombies. Let's see here. Del, the one you just attacked is going to go for you. Let's see if it hits. It's going to swipe at you. Ooh, zombies aren't doing great. 11?
No.
Okay, so he swipes and misses. And then a zombie from the rear is going to travel 20 feet. And it is going to be standing in front of you, Mora.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the end of that round for the zombies. Oh, actually, no, yeah, that's the end. Next in the order, Cal. What you doing?
So Cal's
you have a zombie
draw
in front of... Yeah, you have a zombie in front of Del, zombie in front of Mora. Sandra's about 20 feet in front of you with a zombie in front of her, and there's still two behind that.
Okay.
Help us.
So Cal's going to take out his longsword. There's basically one to the left and one to the right. Right?
Yep, and then, of you, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Cal's going to go ahead and hit the one that's in front of Mora. He's going to try to swing at that one.
Okay. Attack roll.
Yeah. Got it. Longsword. That was an 8.
An 8 hits.
Okay, 8 hits. All right. And let's do the damage. That was a 4. 4 damage.
4 damage. Okie dokie.
And I'd like to take my bonus action and use Insightful Fighting.
Okay.
And do you want me to explain that, or are we good?
Yeah, explain to me one more time. It's going to take me a while because we don't do it often.
So, Insightful Fighting, it says, as a bonus action, you can make an insight check against the creature you can see that isn't incapacitated, contested by the target's deception. If you succeed, you can use your sneak attack against that target, even if you don't have advantage on the attack roll, and then on and on. But yeah, basically looking for a sign of weakness in their movement or their ability to fight.
Okey-dokey.
So I'm going to roll an insight check.
Yep, and I'll roll deception.
Okay.
Wow.
All right,
go ahead.
My insight was 15 plus 5 is 20.
Okay, he had a 16, which I thought was pretty high for a zombie. pretty charismatic, surprisingly. So you win that. What you glean off that is that I'm just reading off the stat block here. Their saving throws is going to be wisdom. They're immune to poison, and no weaknesses that you know of. But what you do know from like just your knowledge of zombies, they do have a chance to return if they're hit past 0 points. It's depending on a few rolls, out of character stuff, but they do have a chance to come back. So you know maybe to watch out for that.
Okay.
Is it safe to assume that Cal just shares all that with us?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna just about to say.
Somehow.
Yeah, go yell it out of character. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Look, these things are clearly like zombies, or they're undead or something. So I think she's gonna have to chop off the head or something, because they can just come back alive if we kill them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't use poison spray, by the way.
Next in the order, Cal, you just had your turn, correct? Is one final zombie, and that zombie is gonna make its way down towards the group, expending its total speed, and it's gonna be to the left of you, Del. Okay. So back to the beginning, Mora, you have three zombies in front of you, in front of the three of you, like group.
Okay. Are they grouped together? Are we...
They are grouped together, and they're all about 5 feet from the three of you.
Okay, perfect. So then I am going to go ahead and use a snowball swarm, and I'm going to center it on to those three remaining zombies. So I have a flurry of magic snowballs that erupt from a point that I choose within range, which is around those three zombies. Each of them within this 5-foot radius sphere, which is exactly what you said. It's beautiful. On that point, have to make a dexterity saving throw of 13. And they take a 3d6 cold damage.
So let me roll some dex saves here for all three of them.
Are any of those three near me?
That's what I was
they're
asking.
All within 5 feet of you guys, so if she sets the orb like at the edge of that five feet, it will not touch you guys.
Okay.
First one got a 3, so that's a fail. Second one got a 7, so that's a fail. Third one got a 12. Is that a fail too?
Fail, because it's 13.
All right, so all three fail. So roll 3d6 damage, just hit that damage button, and tell me what happens.
Oh, wait. I just hit the damage button. Where?
The one with the little cold thing. Little ice thing next to it.
Yeah, I'm trying to press it. It's not letting me. Pressing where it says damage and the little thingy, and it's not working. Can I just roll my 3d6?
Yeah, just you can just use a little dice to the left.
2, 3, right?
Yep, 3d6.
Rolling. Total of 13.
Ooh, okay. Let me calculate some stuff here.
I like that one. And I was going to use the first name of it, but I didn't know exactly how to pronounce it. I was going to butcher it. I think it's like...
Snillox.
Snillox is what I was going to say. Snillox Snowball Swarm. We all love alliteration here. S-S-S.
Destiny's Child.
All right. Next in the order is Sandra. So you have one zombie immediately in front of you and one about 10 feet further in front of you.
Okay, so I'm going to attempt what I tried to do the first time using my Sonic Maul and Divine Smite at the same time. So please, for the love of God. Ooh, what is that? I went underneath my monitor. Ooh, 19.
19 hits.
Nice. Okay, so I get to do first 2d6 plus 3. Then,
yes, Mike, it's crazy.
I know. And then 2d8. And then I get 1d8 because it's the undead. Ooh, 8. And then I get one more 1d8.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not even joking.
I'm picturing in my head her smacking this zombie, and it just turns into gold dust.
Oh, it's gonna be fucking
dust.
Obliterated
it just,
already.
It just turns into gold holy plus dust four. That flies up to heaven. Just goes,
so 24 plus 8 is 32 plus a total of 36 damage.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so that sonic ball charges up, and with this divine energy, you smack, you fucking grand slam this thing out of the park, and it, because it is like a holy kind of damage, it does burn up and like fade away, and the ashes just like, you know, surround your maul as it passes through it, and it's dead.
Hell yeah.
Everybody stops, even the zombies, and they just look.
They're just like, fuck this. Well, some business is coming for you, Sandra, as one of the zombies that is next comes in and tries to, the one that was in the back comes at you and tries to swipe. Let's see if it hits. What does that say? It's getting dark in here. 18. Does 18
ooh,
hit?
Ooh, it does hit me. Man, just whop me down. Take me off my high horse.
Let's see. So it's going to do... Five points of damage as it swipes, and maybe just like more, it's more like a punch as it hits you in your armor and kind of maybe knocks you back a little bit. Next in the order is Del. You have three zombies near the three of you. One of them is looking like it's really going to die.
So I've got one, the one that, I'm guessing you're talking about the one that literally just was next to me, tried to hit me, is standing like right next to me. And then there's one directly to my left, right?
Yeah, I just imagine, because it's hard to picture this, but there's the three of you in a row, and there's basically three of them in a row right in front of you guys.
Okay. Okay, so the one that just took a swipe at me, I assume is very close.
Yes, so within 5 feet.
I put my revolver in my, the one in my right hand, in my holster, and I lay my hand on, like, the one that just swiped at me's, like, shoulder, like, kind of back-ish shoulder area, and... do a shocking grasp.
Okay, what do I have to do for that?
Let me click on it. I just have to roll to hit you.
Okie dokie.
That is a 15.
15 hits.
Okay. 6 damage, shocking grasp. You have advantage on attack rolls if it's wearing armor made of metal. Okay, yeah, so 6 damage.
6 damage. Okay, let me do something here really quick. You reach out your hand and grasp it on the shoulder and send this electrical energy to the body of the zombie, and it collapses down to the ground. Let's see. And it's completely dead.
Okay. It kind of cooks, like, everyone has this putrid smell of cooking meat that I shocked it to death.
Hey, yeah, it's got a lot of fungus on it, so maybe it smells like a nice roasted mushroom.
Oh,
disgusting.
You simultaneously smell the rotten cooking flesh of this shocked zombie and a delectable mushroom cooking teppanyaki scent.
Sandra just, like, takes a big whiff and then licks her upper lip because she loves the smell of death.
So this one on the ground, I'm holding its shoulder, I kind of let it go and shove it down to the ground as I put my left revolver out and use bonus action to fire at the one to my left.
Okay.
And that is going to be a roll. 18.
That hits.
Okay. And then the damage is a 1d6. 5.
5 damage?
Yeah.
Okay. Next in the order are the two zombies in front of you guys. Mora, the zombie standing immediately in front of you, is going to try to hit. Let's see what happens. 22. Does that hit?
I don't know. What is it based off of?
Your AC. Your armor class.
My armor is
like
10.
Right.
10. Ooh. Yeah, so yeah. It's going to hit you.
Yeah.
And it's going to hit you. 4.
Is your armor equipped?
Yeah, I don't really have any.
Okay.
I don't really have any. That is
it
equipped,
hits you for 5 damage as it slices you across the arm.
I have a chipped tooth. and a cut arm now, guys. Do we remember the chipped tooth? Anyone from the Big Balls Challenge? Mm-hmm. I still have a fucked up smile. All right. Now I got a cut arm.
And then the next zombie, Cal, in front of you is going to try to hit you. Uh, 14.
That hits.
14 hits. All right, let me roll some damage here. 7 damage.
7 damage.
This zombie comes and it swipes at you, but it just kind of knocks you in the ribs and doesn't actually make any kind of incision. But it knocks you hard enough to knock the wind out of you for 7 damage. Cal, you are next.
All right, so Cal's going to go ahead and he's going to lift up his longsword, and the guy, so whichever one that hit him in the ribs, he's going to say, fuck you. And he's going to go ahead and try to chop off that head. Okay. Longsword to hit 13.
13 hits.
13 hits. Ooh. And now let's do the damage. If it will let me. It will. And damage was 3.
3.
One plus 2.
That does equal 3. Good job.
Yeah.
This zombie is, as you take that sword and slice through this zombie, it kind of falls over halfway. Like it is like leaning over on its sliced open chest.
I was going to take a bonus action for sneak attack.
Oh,
if I could.
Yeah.
Take it. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and do the sneak attack on the same guy.
Okay.
Let's see what this does. It's 2d6. Oh, do I need to hit again?
If it doesn't say...
It doesn't.
Does it say anything?
No. It doesn't say...
I think because you are attacking again, you would need to make another attack roll.
Okay, I can do that. So I'll just use the same thing as I did before, the longsword?
Yeah,
okay.
Whatever your bonus to hit is, just add that to your d20 roll.
Okay, so to hit, I got... It was a 19.
Hits?
Yeah, and then the sneak attack damage was a 7.
7, okay. And you're doing it with your short sword?
With the long sword, because he has...
Or the long sword?
Yeah, so basically, Cal, went to chop this guy's head off. He hits him in the chest, you said?
Mm-hmm.
So it cuts him in the chest, and then he's going to come back around and try to get his head again.
Yeah, so you come and get its head, and basically it falls clean off to the floor... and it's completely dead. It does not move after its head is off.
Thank God.
Next in the order is Mora.
How many zombies are left?
There are 2 left. One is looking very good, and one is not looking not so good.
Can I have the not so good one?
The not so good one is about 10 feet to your left.
How far is the good one?
20-ish, 25 feet in front of you.
We're going with a not so good one, but they're kind of in a line, right?
Yeah. So this one is to the left of Del currently.
I just shot it.
And you just shot it. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm gonna do is I'm not gonna risk a spell and hit any of us at this time. But I am pretty pissed off at this one for cutting me in the arm and fucking me up. So I want...
The one that cut you, isn't that the one I shocked to death?
It doesn't matter who did it. I'm still mad.
Oh, I see. You're just generally mad.
She's
just pissed off.
I'm just angry. I'm getting all kinds of fucked up over here. I'm mad. So I want to go ahead and take my 2 daggers... And okay. I just want to go straight at this motherfucker.
Yeah, roll 2 damage hits.
Okay.
Or roll 2 attack hits.
2 attack hits. How do I do that?
Roll 2 d20s.
Okay, thanks.
And individually.
Oh, okay.
Does she add anything bonus wise to
my
her?
Dagger,
whatever.
It just
should
has
say
damage.
Plus the hit. It's not like a plus anything to hit on there?
Let me go back to it really quick. So there's damage. Attack is melee. Proficiency with a dagger allows you to add your proficiency bonus to the attack roll for any attack.
Yeah, you have a +3 to hit, Kaylee.
Okay.
Yeah, so just hit that button for me, that plus three, and it'll tell me what it is.
Plus three where?
I'm up guys, next, I really next to where it says dagger. Okay, see where it says dagger?
Yeah, I'm on my equipment right now.
Okay, go to actions.
Oh, okay, go to actions. Got it. Oh, there's the thing. All right, plus
yeah,
three.
Yeah, so hit that plus three.
Did it. Sorry, I'm still learning. 19.
Okay, that one hits, so go ahead and roll again.
Okay. And this one is 16.
16. Okay, those both hit, so roll damage for both as you come in with both daggers and just kind of... You kind of... What's that dude from Guardians? You just like...
Drax or...
Drax, you just fucking Drax the zombie up with your daggers.
And I'm just like at that guy in that one.
Drax them sclounced.
Okay, so the first damage was 2 plus 1, 3.
Okay.
And my second damage is 3 plus 1, 4. So 3 and 4.
Okay, so you Drax the shit out of that zombie.
With just two little teeny tiny arms. I'm just going at it with my tiny daggers. Right in this fucker. And... wherever eye level is at. So you guys use your imaginations, wherever that is, because I just ran straight at him and just... So that's on you.
And this zombie, it is completely torn to shreds.
Yes.
Dead on the ground.
All of his guts spilled out onto you.
That's fine. Fuck this guy.
Sandra, you're next with the last zombie standing directly in front of you.
Okay, so we're gonna should I use a charge? I'm gonna do it. Yeah, I'm gonna charge. Now I'm like hungry. Sandra, hungry for more sonic death. So I'm gonna roll, see if I hit. 13 plus 5 to hit is 18.
Yep, obviously, and that hits.
For sure. So, I'm not going to do Divine Smite this time when activated, so I get to do 2d6 plus 3 damage. So, more Divine Smite. I wish, though. Oh, 3 plus 3 is 6. Nine damage
total.
Yeah, that's pretty vanilla compared to the last time.
Yeah, that did not do as well.
Well, it's because I didn't use Divine Smite.
But still, 11 damage is good. Okay, next in the order is the zombie directly in front of you. And Sandra, because you are just going at it, it's going to go right back for you. A 7 plus 3, 10 does not hit.
Not enough.
Okay, Del, you're up.
Del doesn't, since it's so close to Sandra, he doesn't trust his ability with magic yet.
We'll see.
I'm trying not to hurt you, asshole.
Oh.
So
we'll see.
He's just gonna go old-fashioned two revolvers.
Old-fashioned pew-pew.
Yep, do the pew-pew. Just make sure you use some movement to get into line of sight. Otherwise, it might, because it's standing directly in front of Sandra. So you'll need to make some movement.
So he walks, he moves however many steps he needs to the left to get into line of sight. I don't know exactly.
We'll say he moved 10 feet to the left.
Okay. Pulls out both of his revolvers and gets a... What is that? Oh, shit. A 19 plus 3, so 22 on the first one.
That hits.
And a 6 on the first on the second one.
Okay, so one of them hits.
Okay, so the first one has a plus 3 to damage, so it's a 1d6. That's a 5.
5. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. The second one was a 9 on the attack roll. I forgot to add the plus 3.
That hits then.
Okay.
So roll damage for the second one.
4. So a 5 and a 4.
Okay. You put 2 holes in that zombie, and the second one is enough to hit it in the neck, and its head hangs limp, and you can tell that it is worse for wear.
Gnar.
Next in the order is Cal.
Finish him.
All right.
Destroy him!
And this guy's about, you said 20 feet?
Yeah, he's about 20 feet away from you.
Okay. Well, let me look at my...
I think you have 35 feet or maybe 40 feet.
It's 30. My walking pace is 30 feet.
30. Okay. So you can definitely make it.
Yeah. Okay. So he's just going to run over there. Going to chop that bad boy's head off.
Yes. Go for it. Make an attack roll.
All right. That was 14.
14 hits.
14 hits. Let's do some damage. Damage is 12.
12. Impressive. Yeah. You go straight for that neck where it's already kind of limp, and you hack down directly at it. Its head falls off and rolls at your feet, and this zombie... Damn, these zombies are sucking it rolling today. It is completely dead. Congrats. Just as that last zombie's head drops, the light at the lighthouse to your right turns on.
No. Mm-mm. Not gonna die.
No. Hey, before we do anything else, Kirk, can I look at Mora's laceration on her arm, please?
Yeah.
And then can I do, like, I guess maybe, would it be like a medicine check to see if she's infected?
Yes.
While she's heading over there, Dell's, like, pointing his guns all around, kind of looking wild-eyed, because he does not like zombies.
I got an 18.
So, from what you can tell at this point, the wound does look infected, but you don't know if it's going to have any repercussions at this point.
So,
roll a history check for me to see how much you know about zombies.
Okay. Ooh, I'm good at history too. Nice. Okay. A 12 total?
A 12? You know that it's very common for open wounds to lead to an infection, but there's different types of zombies, so you're not quite sure. You can't pinpoint if it's going to happen to her or not.
Okay, last question. Am I able to use Cure Wounds out of battle?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. So...
Yeah. If it's a spell, just make sure you expend the spell slot. Yeah,
yeah, that's fine. That's why I wanted to save a couple. Let me just read up on it, make sure...
I really don't want to fucking turn into some kind of fungus zombie, guys.
Yeah, that's why I was like, and the only reason I care so much is because last time, like, in my last campaign, dude, we had to do this all the time because, like, all of us kept getting infected. And, okay, actually, it's Lay on Hands pool. That's what I'm using. So I have a pool of healing power that can restore 20 HP per rest, but I can expend 5 HP of that, of that bucket to cure a disease or neutralize a poison affecting the creature. So, I'm gonna go ahead and lay my hands on
my wee little arm.
Yeah.
Okay. How much does it heal for?
Well, it doesn't really heal her.
It just heals the disease.
Yeah. If I spend 5, because I have 20 as my budget. I have $20 to spend, and if I spend $5, I can neutralize the poison. But okay. I can also give her more. Like, what are you looking at, Sandra? Or not Sandra, Mora. Do you, like...
Even you are missing
Everyone's
that.
Doing
oh my
it.
God, yeah. I even changed my name on Zoom.
No.
Oh, yeah, everyone should do that, because that does make it easier, too.
Oh, what the heck? Mine went back.
As far as my hit points, I'm fine. I'm only at 17 out of 22. I only got hit with those 5. So
I'm gonna give you 3. I like even numbers. Okay. So that means that I take out. I only have 12 HP this long rest to lay on someone, to lay it down.
Okay.
Thank you.
Something particularly different happens this time when you lay your hands on Mora. Normally, it's just this, like, soft yellow light that surrounds the wound and heals it. Mm-hmm. But this time, you notice that the color changes from yellow to, like, a very blue-green color. And instead of yellow energy, almost like a water-like energy surrounds her arm and heals it. And it brings you back up to full health, Mora.
What?
Huh.
Okay. That's interesting. And Sandra looks at her hands and is a little confused because it's never happened before. And as a little teaser, it kind of reminds her about the vision that you guys don't know yet. The vision that she saw while she was in the void. And now she's just, like, more confused about everything. She just looks confused, and then because she doesn't want you guys to see her, she just walks away.
Well, wait, am I okay?
What happened? Yeah, you're good. You're good. You're good.
Oh, all right.
Dell's still looking around pretty wild-eyed, and he's like, anyone bit? Or better yet, Sandra, did you bite any of them? Because that's probably bad, too.
I wish.
Hey. Kirk, you said that they're dressed, right? You said they're dressed nicely?
Yeah, like, they have, like, middle-class clothing on, just, like, very standard clothing. Like, it's not very ragged
for
a zombie.
Cal just kind of wants to take his sword and just kind of, like, open up their jacket, see if there's, like, anything that gives them a hint to, like, as to where they were from. If that,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do an investigation roll.
Investigation, you got it.
I put my guns away and head back to the group, too.
Alright, my investigation was 15.
Okay, you poke and prod at these different zombies, kind of folding open their jackets and maybe kind of cutting open pockets. The only thing that you really get off from the bodies is that each of them has a small... like a small necklace with like a crest on it, and each one is different. That's the only like super identifying object.
Can I help investigate looking at them?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have a pretty good modifier for that. 13 plus 4 is 17.
Mora, with a 17, from someone that looks like they might have been a baker, you pull a key out of their pocket.
Ooh, I found a key. I have no idea.
It was hidden in like an inner pocket inside of his shirt.
It was hidden inside of an inner pocket inside of this baker guy's shirt.
Hey, y'all think we should take these necklaces?
What? What if that was the thing that turned them into the fucking zombies in the first place? No, shite.
Well,
no.
We ain't gonna put it on. We don't have to put necklaces on, yeah?
Then you can put them in your pack, because I'm not carrying nothing. I will take this key, and that's about it.
It just seems like... maybe this is something, you know? It's just like, everyone's got a weird crest.
Have at it.
I suppose... go ahead, Sandra.
Kurt, can I do, like a history check to see if I... since it's my home planet, to see if I recognize the crests?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. 13... history. 14?
With a 14, you know for sure that each of these crests represent a different family. Mm. And they were crests worn to just identify like kind of what family you were from, if you lived in Moonbright.
Okay. Guys, I think these are family crests. They signify which family you come from.
Oh, alright. Well, I guess that doesn't really tell. Doesn't really.
That means that nobody in the group of these zombies was in the same family, because they're all different crests.
That Man. Would be very true.
I just want to get off this beach. I don't know who else is going to be coming down out of these trees. I would rather head out. Let's go to the really creepy lighthouse, because I'm not going towards a wall.
Seems like someone in there turned on the light, so that I'm okay with that plan as well.
Let's go to the lighthouse.
Well, before we go, maybe we should anchor Zero down, you know, the ship. Maybe anchor it down.
Yeah.
Make sure, lock it
thank
up.
Thank you. Thank you, Cal, for thinking of the ship that we all just kind of left here on the beach.
You guys are thanking him for doing his job.
So
does Zero have some sort of, like, security, like, lockdown mode?
Yeah.
Cal, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Cal was going to pull out, like, a keychain, like... you know,
like a fob.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
You have a key fob, and you kind of boop boop, and the hatch closes up, and like all the lights turn off on the ship, and it just sits there in the night sky.
I
can't see it really.
So glad that you have never lost that key.
I didn't even know he had it. The motherfucker. We could have found our ship way earlier if we just walked around the freaking field going beep 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 beep. Didn't think to use panic mode earlier when we were looking for Zero. Oh, no, that's okay. Fine.
So funny.
Well, you know, honestly, forgot I had it. And a thing that really doesn't have there's no panic mode really. You can't really use it.
That makes me feel better.
You guys make your way towards this lighthouse, and as you approach it, it's like a completely decrepit building. Dead vines crawl all the way up from the floor to the pinnacle of the light, making this once gray stone building appear a dulled yellow. There are no windows on the ground floor, and you'd have to climb higher than you're probably comfortable to get a good look inside. However, the front door looks as if it's been scratched and torn apart. Shreds of this once red door are scattered amongst the ground beneath you. But from atop this tower, you hear a voice yell out, "Come to the top! Hurry! I think they've broken in!"
Oh, fuck. I pull out my revolvers.
Yeah, we're getting ready.
So,
shit.
So Cal's gonna yell up to the guy. So, they're already in the lighthouse.
A female voice says, "Yes, they're in the lighthouse."
So should we go the other way? There was like a wall back at the other side.
Do we want to just head the other way?
Do you have any weapons? Any way to defend yourself?
You do not get a response this time hear some screams come.
Look, we've already handled these ones on the beach. We gotta fucking go. Let's go.
Alright. Del starts running towards the door.
Okay. Yeah. What's the marching order? Like, who's going first, second, third, fourth?
I'm the enforcer, so I'll go first.
Yeah, Sandra's gonna go last because she's gonna keep looking like at the stairs or wherever he was going, just to kind of like. So I'll be last because I'm still curious.
Mora would like to be the little kid in the middle. She can go third.
Yeah, Cal's gonna go second.
Cal's second. Okay. The four of you enter the door and you quickly rush past a quaint kitchen, but due to the rushed nature of reaching the top, you can't take in much detail. As you go around and around the next few flights, you pass what seems like a bedroom and a workshop. And once you reach that workshop, right before the top floor, there's a hatch, but you see one zombie halfway up, like through the hatch door already, and another one right behind him. So if you do attack the zombie that's trying to climb through that hatch, the one that's on the ground still, you'll get an attack of opportunity.
Okay.
All of you.
The one that's halfway through the hatch, there's others below him, right?
There's just two. There's one, like, his body's halfway through the hatch going to the top of the lighthouse where the light is, and there's one below him that's, like, trying to climb that other zombie to get through. Oh my
God. Okay, I'm gonna shoot the one above, the one that's halfway through in a spot, maybe, like, in the back of the knee or something, that's gonna try to make him fall back off a ladder? Is it a ladder?
Yeah, it's a ladder.
Okay, make him try to fall off the ladder and knock the other one down as well. And to do that, I'm gonna have to use probably adept marksman.
Okay. All right, let's see if it hits.
Okay.
You get advantage on it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the first one's bad. That's 8. Roll again. Oh, nat 20 plus 3.
Okay, so it'll be double the damage. Go ahead and roll damage, and you're going to strike it at its knee. Correct?
Okay. Yeah, sorry for that loud noise. Me, in the future. I'm going to... So that's 8 times 2. So 16.
16 damage. Yep. 16 damage is enough. That bullet hits its knee and it falls. As that bullet hits the knee, it expands and does enough damage to where that zombie is dead. And that dead weight pulls the second zombie down. And as it's pulled, you hear a fuck from the top floor. And now the second zombie focuses attention on you guys, but the other three of you still have an opportunity attack before it'll go.
Okay.
So next in the order was Cal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so the one that was on top, he's you said he's dead?
Yeah, the one that was on the bottom, right, Chris? Because you wanted him to pull down the one on the top.
Yeah, either way. Whatever. I was just trying to knock them both down.
Okay, they're both knocked down. One's dead. One is now prone on the ground.
Okay.
And you have an opportunity attack.
Okay, so then...
Oh, opportunity attack's already advantage, huh?
I think so.
I guess I didn't have to waste a grip point.
Okay,
to get advantage.
Cal takes
just add a grip point, then.
Sorry,
Cal.
No, it's okay. Alright, Cal takes his longsword, and he's gonna try to chop off the zombie's head while he's on the ground.
Okay.
And to hit,
to hit is 18.
18 hits.
18 hits. And damage is 9.
9. Okay, you get a clean cut, and this zombie is not looking hot. It looks like it probably took some damage from before.
Are zombies hot to look at to begin with?
I mean, it's
not looking hot now, but was it looking hot before?
Eye of the beholder, right?
I guess. So I'm going ahead with my two daggers drawn and ready to just fuck this guy up. So I go ahead and hit both of those. First one is 5. And the second one is 11.
What was the first one?
5. So I might,
5 misses.
I might
11
miss
hits.
With one of my daggers just off to the side. So I go with 2, and one of them just kind of crosses underneath me. But I do hit with the other one.
Okay, and then what's the damage?
And then we're going with damage for that second one. Ooh, 5.
5 damage. 5 is enough. So you drive that right into the back of the head of this zombie. And... nope, it's dead.
Yes!
Zombies suck at rolling dice.
Yes!
So now there's 2 dead zombies, and the hatch is open, and you just keep hearing, like, voices, a voice from above.
Well, I'm not going up first.
They're dead. And I'm not a zombie, I promise.
Well, this one's not.
What? Oh, shit. All right, I start coming up.
You climb up that ladder, open the hatch at the top of the lighthouse. And when you get to the top, what you see is a slim, maroon-hooded figure kind of jumping away from a zombie. And you see this figure kick it and go, "Fuck you, Jerry, you piece of shit. Chase me all the way to the fucking lighthouse." And that zombie, like, gets hit up against the back of the lighthouse, like the wall that's containing the top. And she pulls this vial out from her belt, chucks it at zombie Jerry. And when this vial strikes him, like a deep green flame, like, consumes his body. And he falls off the side. And Chris, I guess you're, or Del, you're the only one to see this. But it falls all the way off the lighthouse. And you presume it's dead.
Okay.
So you make your way up, and she goes, who are you?
I mean no harm. We heard, it sounded like you was in trouble, so we came up. My name's Dale Healy Packard, and my team's coming up behind me.
Okay, well, just please bring him up and just sit down, or just get up here, please.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, we took care of the other two down there, so I mean, we're on your side. Also, I want some of that fire juice that you got there.
Let's just let's get everyone.
Cool.
It's cool. Yeah, thank you. Let's get everyone up here, please. I want to know who's all in my lighthouse.
So Cal goes ahead and jumps up.
Oh, a tabaxi. Okay, and who else do we got?
Hello.
Mora climbs up those stairs.
Oh, hello, little one. Welcome.
Hello there.
And anyone else?
And then Sandra, with a big grunt, lifts herself up and goes, "Ugh."
As you come up, you can see this figure starting to take off her robe, and you immediately notice that it is Quinn, someone from your past, more particularly the one that used to train you in botany. But this person says, "Commander Bullock, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be back in Moonbright, preparing for the raid."
Quinn, is that you?
Yes.
I'm surprised to see you here. Where did you say I was supposed to be? I didn't think I was supposed to be anywhere other than here.
Well, you told me to come out to the lighthouse to scope out for any remaining infected, so I've been posted out here for a couple days, but you're supposed to be back in Moonbright and preparing the troops for the upcoming raid. Why don't you know that? Is this your team? Did you bring a team out here? Is there a special mission?
Delvin's over to Sandra and kind of like turns his body away from Quinn and in a whisper says, Hey, remember what Mordecai said about running into, potentially running into other us's?
Oh no, I didn't think it would be that soon.
Yeah, me neither. This could be bad. And I turn back towards Clint. I'm like, just whispering sweet nothings.
Mora wants to join in and says, what are we all whispering about?
I'll tell you later. Just don't say anything.
You hear a commander. What's going on?
Sanja looks like she looks confused for a second, and she makes up her mind, and then she shakes her head and says, "I'm sorry, Quinn. You're right. I feel like I did hit my head. We came back to check on you. I knew something wasn't right, and obviously we were right. You needed some help with zombies, so call it half-orc intuition, I guess. How is your mission here? How's it going?"
"It's been good, but I would like you to make, I think, our first deception roll of the game. I don't know if we've done deception yet."
Oh, snap. Damn. Wait, okay.
There may have been one when we were talking to the guy in the dice game guy.
Maybe. Okay, but the first one in a long time.
Yeah, a very long time.
That was a good cover, though. Let's hope the dice runner sucks. That was a good cover.
Okay. Oh, man. That was a good cover. Maybe I should have, before I opened my freaking mouth, rolled. Okay. Oh, don't fail me now.
Please.
Ooh,
please.
Boom. 17.
Yay. Okay.
17 is good. Quinn says, I totally appreciate you coming, Commander. There was clearly too many of the infected out here for me to handle. So I suppose now you're going to be returning to town?
Yeah, that's part of the mission, to return back. Have you had any more intel swing your way?
Nothing too much. I know that some scouting I did a few days ago reveal that there's about 11 to 12 infected at an Old Town Moonbright.
Right. And that's definitely different than the raid in New Moonbright. Yes, indeed. Right. Yes.
Yes, of course, Commander. Is this a new team? I've never seen any of them from the barracks.
Yes. These are reinforcements. They showed up not too long ago, just before we made our way to the lighthouse. Everybody, this is Quinn. This tabaxi here's Cal. This annoying one is Del, and this button is Mora.
Hello.
What's everyone wearing?
We found it on the
I think he's asking out of character.
Out of character. Just
are you? Okay, well, I was ready for it, at least.
I know! Still... you're rocking it, Sandra. I'm like, we'll just sit here and wait. I like this.
They know about the Pod Academy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here on this
planet, you don't know that, but I will say yes.
Okay.
Does Mora have a pod suit that was just, like, waiting for her? Yeah, I don't have one.
So you're in your native clothes from wherever you're from.
Yeah, I'm in my normal clothes.
So Quinn says, it's nice to meet the team, but what's with all the Pod Academy suits? You guys from the Academy?
I'm not.
Well, no, but the others.
We're from the Academy, yeah? And we're just... we're escorting the little one, yeah? He and I. And, yep.
Okay. And, Commander, how'd you get the uniform?
Back at the beach, right when they landed, when I went to go greet him, there was a big group of infected, and unfortunately, my other commander's clothes got destroyed, you know, and... I mean, you want to always look fresh for a new raid, so they brought me some new slacks and POD. You know me.
We had another half orc about the same size. Mm-hmm. Didn't make it through the landing.
That's right.
Don't bother looking. We threw her in the ocean.
The landing.
Yeah.
Where'd you guys?
Load,
you
know? Oh yeah. Sorry. I guess. Right.
I don't think anyone cleared you for the airspace. Where'd you guys? You guys landed on the beach.
She cleared us for this.
Oh, the. Okay.
Of course, I'm the commander.
She's right. Oh, I mean, she's right here with us. She came to meet us. We landed. We got attacked as soon as we got out. But yeah, no, the pod, pod sent
and
us
we were
to help.
Underwater.
That's we were under
we water. For just a moment. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the POD has got real great technology these days. It's quite excellent, actually.
Top of line, yeah.
It's kind of hot in here. It's kind of hot in here.
It's a little bit.
Is anyone else sweating?
A little humid, yeah?
Quinn said, you know what? You guys are fucking bullshitting, so I want Chris to start, but with advantage, because Del to roll
Deception.
Okay. And with advantage, because Cal's helping.
My first one is a 13. 13 is the best.
13 is the best?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, she got a 10. So that passes. Quinn says to everyone, I didn't know the Pod Academy was going to send students to assist us. That's a little odd, but
well, we're all graduates.
You're all graduates.
Well, yeah.
No.
No.
Well, I mean,
not Maura no. here. She...
Did I say graduates? I said we had flatulence. Excuse me.
I know it's a common thing with orcs. I know, Sandra. We've had many a moment in the barracks where you have gassed us.
Miss Quinn.
I understand.
Miss Quinn.
Yes.
We may have just graduated, but we are top of our class. We had some of the best scores that they've seen, and that's why they chose us to come out this far and do all these investigations that we've been doing. We picked up more along the way, and she's proved herself.
Right. What year did you graduate? I've had a lot of friends graduate.
It wasn't. It probably wasn't the same.
No?
No, probably not. This year. I just graduated. It was this year.
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this year. Well, she wouldn't ask that. Never mind. But
gotcha.
Yeah,
this same year? Oh, my gosh.
So Quinn says... So, Commander Bullock, you're going to take them back to town, right?
Absolutely.
You're going to need to get some emblems for everyone, some crests. Do you know where to get those?
I'm a little tired. Can you remind me?
Of course. This is difficult. Crests aren't made unless you're born here in Moonbright, but I believe if you can get some from Old Town Moonbright, you can make them work.
Of course! Old Town Moonbright. I would have thought of that myself if I wasn't so tired.
Just make sure to stay clear. The raid is taking place in Old Town Moonbright on your father's old lab in about 2 days, so just make sure you get what you get and get out of there quickly.
Is there just like a direct footpath or something that takes us right there?
Pretty much. From the lighthouse, you just want to go northeast of here towards the woods.
Oh,
yeah. Like I said, there's Maura, about 11 to 12 infected.
Towards the woods. I'm from here. I get it.
You must have bumped your head pretty hard.
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, what's up?
It's pretty safe to assume Sandra would know how to get to where she used to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She could. Yeah. Okay. She knows the area well enough.
That's why I'm yelling at Maura. I'm just like, of course I know where we're going, Maura. God, my turf.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sound is a pound. Sound is a pound.
But anyways, are you all right? It seemed like that zombie got pretty close.
I should be fine. Looks like there's no damage to my skin. I don't think infection's anything I need to worry about.
All right. That fire juice.
Well, since you are Academy, I can see what I can do. And she digs through a bag on her side and pulls out two more vials. And she calls it Dragon's Breath. So she gives you two vials of Dragon's Breath. I'll tell you the effects and all that stuff after the game.
Okay. Quinn, you know how to make this stuff?
Yes. Telling you is a whole nother thing, though. I apologize.
No, not necessarily that. I'm saying, like, since you were kind enough to give me two bottles of your dragon's breath, which is apparently very effective against these things, maybe you could give me some ingredients to pick up for you so you can refill your inventory when I get back.
Oh, don't even worry. We have a stockpile back in town. I'll take care of it. You're with the commander now. She should take care of you. So, you know, just stay safe. Once you have everything you need from Old Town, please exit as soon as possible. And if you'd like to meet up, I'll be over at the Funky Orc back in town. You can go have a drink.
Yes, the Funky Orc.
Sounds good. Please tell your people, if you see them before we do, that our ship is parked on the beach. It's locked up with security measures. Please don't mess with it or destroy it. If anyone touches it, just tell them fire will shoot out of it or something. Fire will shoot out of it.
Okay. Well,
not true.
When I get back to town, I'll make sure the first thing I do is also let the POD officer in town know that you guys are here. So,
who you got? Who's local here?
I'm not sure. It's rotating. I'm not sure who's on staff at the moment, but I'll make sure that we send message back to Enola.
All right. Okay. How about we'll be quick? Let's go, guys. Let's go to the old town quick.
We want it to be a surprise that we made it here, or they made it here all on their own. Don't you guys?
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We gotta leave.
Quinn just backs up and starts going down the ladder.
The whole group just looks at each other. I'm looking up at all of you just like, what the fuck? Let's get out of here.
I actually say, Commander, can I talk to you on the way? Can I talk to you on the way in private?
Yep. We'll hightail it out of here, and we'll see you later, Quinn.
Okay, Commander.
All right.
It was nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you all, too.
Lovely to meet you.
Please be safe.
Have a good night.
Pleasure.
Bye.
The four of you make your way down to the bottom of the lighthouse, and you're standing outside the front, outside of earshot of Quinn. So if there's anything you want to say before you head off, you can.
What the fuck?
Sandra, I think we're going to have a whole mess of trouble. Aside from going to Old Town, I mean, I'd rather deal with the zombies. At least we could kill them. What are we going to do about you running into your old self with maybe them figuring out that you are back at the new place? Moonbrat. The new Moonbrat.
The new.
Other you. Older you. I mean, whatever you. I don't know. What the fuck's going on?
You guys don't know the year at this point.
We have no idea what's happening.
Well, I guess the only way to find out is to avoid it, to be honest. The only way to find it is to just avoid it.
I agree. Yeah. I don't want to go nowhere near nothing like that.
What did Mordecai say? What did he say? Remind me.
There could be a heap of trouble if we run into ourselves from our current or even past timelines.
Kirk, can I request, did he say something more than that other than just not to do it? I'll roll for it.
No, I can tell you, because what he basically was saying, I can't recall the exact words, but avoid yourselves as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if...
You guys, you make the world, so if you guys do end up running to them or want to, you guys can do that and we can figure it out, but...
I wonder if I, change my appearance. Maybe, old Sandra won't recognize new Sandra.
Or same year Sandra.
Or same year Sandra.
Who knows?
Okay.
You guys don't know what year it is still, so no one asked.
What do they say in Scott Pilgrim? Mega Sandra? Oh, no, it's negative Sandra. Okay. I don't want to use that. Sandra, whatever. I'll come up with a nickname for her later.
Sandra, it seemed like Quinn didn't recognize the three of us. So that means whatever reality we're in, we weren't with you when we got here. So maybe when we get to New Moonbrat, we can go in there, find the commander, maybe have a sit down chat with her about what's going on. That way, y'all don't just walk into each other and blow up the universe.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's a good plan as any. We best be on our toes. A lot of shit's happening on this planet.
All right. Well, I guess lead the way to Old Moonbrat.
Okay.
Okay. The four of you make your way northeast from the lighthouse towards the forest. Moonlight overhead, full moon out right now, so you guys can see, and you start making your way towards town, and we'll see what happens on the next episode. Woo! Hey, end of the show. I know, you're ready to go, but we have one last announcement. Check this trailer out for a show that you may, wink wink, see some of our characters on here in a little bit. It's called Tales of Adventure. Check out the trailer. Go to the show. It's fantastic. Love ya!
My name is Estrella. Allow me to buy you a drink as you spin your tale of adventure. Have you ever wondered how heroes begin? Who were they before they started their journey? How did they get to where they are today? Did they decide to answer the call, or did life answer the call for them? Hear their stories and more in Tales of an Adventure, an in-character character interview show celebrating the characters people bring to life in TTRPGs. The show follows Isra as she wanders the world, striking up conversations with various people she meets along the way. Whether you are looking for more shows to listen to, or you're just looking for something a little different, Tales of Adventure is the show for you. Tales of Adventure is hosted and produced by me, Brianna Teuber, as part of Pseudonym Social, a creative podcast network. You can find us on Twitter at Pseudonym Social, and you can also find us online at patreon.com/pseudonymsocial and www.pseudonymsocial.wordpress.com. If you are interested in having your character on our show, feel free to let us know.